In today's episode of the Reach Right podcast, we do a deep dive into 7 surprising statistics on church giving changes during the pandemic. There is no question that the coronavirus has forced many churches to make radical changes to the way they do ministry. But one of the most significant changes has been how churches receive their tithes and offerings. Join us as we unpack the good, the bad, and the scary parts of the shift we have seen in giving over the last 6 months. We hope it helps your church reach more people and grow. You're listening to the Reach Right podcast, the show dedicated to helping pastors and church leaders reach people the right way. Hosted by me, Thomas Costello, and with me as always is my co-host, Ian Hyatt. We're here to help your church see more visitors and grow. Well, hey guys, welcome to the Reach Right podcast, episode number 12. I am your host, Thomas Costello, and my co-host as always with me today is...
Ian Hyatt. Hey, Thomas, how's it going?
Good here, Ian. Doing good here, man. All things considered, we had our lockdown here in Hawaii. It kind of ended today. We opened up. Yeah, I know. It's been a long time here. And we have a topic that kind of goes along with that here today. So today we're going to be talking about 7 church giving statistics for the season of COVID. We found a really great article from our friends over at Givelify. They put out a really good infographic that we'll put in the description of this post or on YouTube. So anybody that wants to see it can go see it. A lot of other good stats in here, but there were 7 that really blew us away and stood out. And we've been having a lot of conversations with people about the situation with giving in their churches. What have you heard mostly from pastors as we've been talking to them and about their giving situation at churches right now?
It's a hot topic. You know, I know when the pandemic first hit and the shutdown first happened back in March, I think a lot of churches were very fearful. And, it was a kind of a feeling of dread when it came to this topic of giving.
Right.
But contrary to that notion, most of the churches I've spoken with have said that their giving has gone up or remained the same. I've had a small handful of churches say that it's gone down quite a bit, but most have said that it's increased.
Yeah, well, that's good news. Yeah, I'm hearing the same. I know at the church that I'm a part of personally, I know we've seen some increase there. Most of the ones I've talked to, I'm hearing the same thing. So, you know, it doesn't really make sense on paper to me. You know, when you think about just the economic side of it, I think in the heavenlies, it makes sense that God is providing for his children as he promises. And I think it's really cool to hear some of that. I do think that there may be challenges that lie ahead for churches I think we're still kind of in that season where there's been a lot of unemployment income that's coming for them. The stimulus money, that's probably helped to stabilize some things, people that have been able to give more with that. But yeah, and I'll share a little bit about some of the things because I have my finger on the pulse of what we've been seeing on our church, on our website stats. We have a lot of posts that we've put out there about online giving. One of the ones that's read the most is we have a post called the 7 Top Online Giving Companies for Churches. And in the days when it became obvious that churches were going to have to shut down for a while, or shut down their services. I don't think churches ever really shut down, but their services in person, we saw an increase from 40 or 50 hits a day on that post to 300-400 different hits on that post. And so many of them going out to these great companies that we highlight in that post there. So we saw a big boom. I think that's kind of leveled because most churches, if you haven't figured out online giving at this point, I don't know what's wrong. You know, it's you probably ought to do something about that pretty quick because some of these stats we're going to share really highlight the importance of online giving here. So, so it's been
your rock that you're living in.
That's absolutely right. Yeah, that's it. So, well, good. Why don't I'll kick us off here today, and we'll dig into 7 church giving statistics for the season of COVID here. The first one is that donations increased or stayed the same for 55% of churches. So I think that that stands out because, like we were saying, that for most churches, this has been okay or good financially for them in this season here. I think nobody wanted this. None of us wish that this pandemic happened, but I think financially it hasn't been the huge hardship that a lot of us were prophesying or believing it might be a few months ago here. So that's kind of in keeping with what we're seeing. What do you think?
No, I think so. Yeah, I've been pleasantly surprised, not just personally, but through relationships that I have in my church and personal family and friends, but just in the churches that we serve and consult with, it's been good to hear. Now, you've already kind of pointed out, you know, where you're at, the hospitality industry is huge. And there's certain segments of, you know, the U.S. that have been hit harder. And, you know, if there's churches with people in that industry, then yes, they've been hit harder. But so there's some sad stories, too. Right. But at the same time, it never reached the level that we had, like you said, we were all prophesying and thinking it was.
So now here's where my mind goes. This is just the way I think. Maybe I'm too much of a pessimist. But when I see it says 55% stayed the same or increased, that means 45% decreased to me. So that's not too far off from half of churches saw a decrease in this. And I think that in my experience, it's generally been some smaller churches that have experienced some of this. And we have another stat we'll share a little bit about some of the reasoning why some churches have seen more increase than others in this season.
Well, you're right about that. If I can interject, the smaller churches that I've spoken with, they have been the ones that have reported more of a decrease that were just in my conversations. And I talk with a lot of them, but still.
Yeah, and it's hard. I think this is a tough season because the larger the church, the more budget they have to probably get content out there to be creating good online content that keeps people engaged and keeps connecting with people. So I think this is something that I think is a challenge specifically for smaller churches, but it doesn't have to be. Yeah, I think small churches can, if they really kind of focus their efforts on some of this, they don't have to be in that 45% that are maybe seeing a decrease in this season here. So I thought that was pretty profound though. Why don't you hit number two for us?
Yeah, it's a good segue for number two. It's an interesting one I found, but when donors give online, 20% of them give more than they would in person. So that was to me kind of a head scratcher at first. I was like, so 20% of them would give more than they would in person. And I started trying to think about it personally. It's kind of interesting. And this is not we know what scripture says about giving, bragging about your giving or doing it. You know, we're supposed to do it in secret and all that. But I've actually enjoyed and give God the glory that I have been able to give more during the season. I've been more inclined to give more, and I've been giving online for, I was thinking about this today as we were going through some of these stats. I've personally been regularly tithing and giving online for well over 7 years. So for me, it's been a regular thing already. But then I started thinking about over this COVID season, you know, I have given a bit more. And I know for me personally, I thought this is probably because, you know, as I've missed more services than ever before, right? We talked about in our last podcast about just how virtual is a struggle and all of that. So for me, giving's been even more fulfilling. And so I don't know if that has something to do with it. I just personally reflected on that a little bit. So
I think that it's interesting. I think a lot of fear that pastors had going into this is that without a offering time, a time to pass the plate, those kind of things, it might be harder for people to be able to give, or those that that maybe do give, that they wouldn't feel as compelled to give or to give as much, because you can't make quite the heartfelt appeal that you could make in person, and they don't have the plate passing in front of them. And I get that. I mean, I it's always been my conviction in all the time that I've been a pastor of a church is to never have or encourage someone to give out of a sense of shame or obligation because the plate is passing in front of them. And I don't think most churches want that either. I don't think
passed the plate out a second time after the first one wasn't full enough. I've heard that.
I don't know that I've ever passed a plate in any church that I've pastored at all. We've always been a giving box kind of people in the back where people can go ahead and make their donation that way. But, you know, I think that I'm like you. I've been giving online for a long, long time. I am the guy that I have it set up on the first of the month. I do once a month donation and it's 10%. And that's just how I have everything lined up. So I don't even really, I don't know if this is good or not. I don't really think about it very much. I think maybe that's not a good thing because you should be thinking about it. I like that. It helps me to be consistent in my generosity with that stuff. But at the same time, I think that it's something that, I probably ought to put more thought into it and continue to give to other opportunities and be sensitive to that more. But all that being said, I think that it doesn't surprise me that when they're given an opportunity to give online and it's a simple way for them to do that, that people are able to give more. And I think if churches, we really need to maybe focus on thinking through some of those giving appeals, because there's a lot of churches that have spent, they have whole theologies written out about how to do an offering time on Sunday morning and the things that you say. And I went to one church once where they said, hey, we're going to take the offering now. And the entire congregation was trained that they all would stand up and do a standing ovation when someone said they'd start cheering. Yeah, it's offering time. Let's do it. And so they'd all celebrate.
An unchurched person that was there for the first time.
Huh? Right. They'd be like, what's going on? They'd look behind them for a trap, or are they getting punked, or they'd wonder that kind of stuff. So anyway, I know that lots of churches have their liturgy that goes along with how to do offerings in a service. I think a lot of us need to think about how we lay out our online giving pages and how we do that online. We have a lot of thoughts on that. That's for another podcast, I think. But I think that that's something that as we've transitioned to doing it online, it doesn't surprise me to see that people are giving more than they did in person in a lot of cases there. Yeah. So, let me tackle number three. Here's what it is. It's digitally savvy organizations see 533% more donations than slow to adopt digital organizations.
Wow.
So the fact that they see more didn't surprise me, but the fact that they see 533% more than those that are slow to adopt, that was amazing to me to see that kind of a difference in the two. The way they define digitally savvy organizations, it's those that have websites and use multiple social media platforms. Right. That's just kind of a baseline. So they said those that use YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and have a website. So churches that are using all those platforms in general saw not just a little bit more income, but they saw a lot more, 533% more donations than those that didn't. Yeah. So what do you think?
Yeah, I think that a percentage was shocking to me too, but it makes sense to me that they see more. And you know, we've been hearing this not just with giving. I think that we've just been seeing the churches that are growing that have been and have been growing, not just through the pandemic, but for the past several years. They are the ones that have embraced technology more and digital and have a good web presence, do good jobs on social media. And I think that just, it has a lot to do with your being relevant to the main demographic now. I think we know that there's a good portion of boomers and those a little bit older that they've always given, you know, either by check in the mail or in the offering plate. And they're going to continue to do that. And that is great, right? But I think the biggest percentage of people, you know, now that we're trying to reach and numerous generations, they're used to digital and doing, you know, buying things online and doing all that. So it does not surprise me.
No, it doesn't surprise me at all, I think. And I would say that correlation does not equal causation. This isn't to say that if you don't have Twitter and YouTube and you add it, your giving will go up 533%. I don't think that's how that'll work. I think it's obvious that that larger churches in general, they're more likely to use multiple social platforms and have already embraced digital stuff. So I think that that's something that kind of, it's just kind of a correlation there. Maybe it's not causing that, but I do think that there is a definite case here in investing more time, talent, treasure into digital opportunities for churches, because I do think that that will pay back. Not that we're doing it just for the income increase, but I think that we will see an increase as we continue to reach out on those platforms, because I don't think digital giving is going away. I think that's going to be staying around for a while. So that's good.
No, and that brings to another interesting point. I'll tackle number four, that the average online donation grew from $102 to $112.50. So a 10% increase from online donations, to be clear. So that's been interesting too, showing that increase.
Yeah, that's incredible to me, just that in these short months that there's been that kind of an increase. I think in general, people that are middle-aged and older give more than those that are younger. Right. I think there's been a higher adoption of those people moving to online giving. And so it makes sense to me that we would see that kind of an increase in this season here, because as older people embrace online giving, probably the donation amount is going to go up. So that does make sense to me. But I think that it's just one more thing that I see that kind of confirms that churches that are embracing digital giving, that it's something that is working, and they've seen an increase from this.
And again, to my kind of personal point, and not everyone, this is kind of more of a personal thing. I think this is kind of the same as far as when we were talking about just the increase in general, is that I think it's become a little more meaningful over these past few months for the donor, you know, because not being able to take part in in-person ministry or services as much, I don't know, to me, and I don't know how you feel, like when I do give, you know, or just when I tithe regularly, to me, it's just, you know, it's been a little extra more fulfilling. Not that it's even more important now than it was before this all happened, but I don't know. I got to think that that's part of the reason why, too. So.
Yeah. No, I think that we're just becoming more comfortable with giving online. There was a certain subset of our population that was just never going to do it. You know, churches had online giving, and they were used to dropping off their check, and they felt that that was their act of worship. And I've always been convinced that some of them are going to go back to that, or at least some churches will encourage people to go back to that. Sure. And there's some advantages to physical giving, but I think it doesn't surprise me at all to see this kind of an increase. 10% is nothing to sneeze at too. So that's a big deal. Yeah. Well, good. Let me share number five. 81% of churches saw an increase in online and mobile donations. Not surprising at all. If you didn't see an increase in that, I think I'd wonder why, because when people can't show up, you would think that they'd be able to give more or they'd give online. I think we were kind of feeling it out in the beginning, and we wonder how many people would insist on sending checks to the church. Yeah. I'm sure that that happens in some cases because people still just don't feel comfortable. But 81% of churches saw an increase in this area. I think most of our audience, you guys are probably in that same boat too. So yeah, I think that one was not surprising, but it's good to put a number to it.
And I think a lot of churches have stepped up to the plate to get their mobile online presence up in tip-top shape over these last several months, you know? So I think that that has helped too, that, you know, whereas before, I think we were running into a lot more churches that just, they didn't have a mobile friendly or, you know, responsive website. So I think that's a part of the factor too. So,
yeah, no, I think you're definitely right with that there. So, yeah.
Good. And that, I guess, brings us to six, so that one in five people gave more, they gave to more than one church. I'll say that again, since I fumbled a little bit. One in five people gave to more than one church. This one was kind of interesting. I know when you and I were talking about it, you were like, "Oh, that's kind of scary a little bit." I think that I think on the it is a little bit. If you're a local church and you have your members giving to, you know, and this is to church. This isn't talking about giving to like other ministries or nonprofits on top of your tithe and so on to your local church, but it was talking about giving to more than one church.
Yeah. I think that this is indicative of another shift that's happening, is that as we've moved to online services, smaller local churches have struggled putting out a engaging service, a lot of cases online. And some of the mega churches out there that had already been doing great video content, they were able to put forth a fantastic service with top-notch teaching, some of the best worship teams in the world. They're able to, just all the production value. And so a lot of people have, it's not that they're leaving their current church, but just to have a an additional spiritual experience, let's call it. They've engaged with some of these mega churches, some of your Elevations and Gateway churches and Life Church, .TV and some of those kinds of places. So It wouldn't surprise me. We don't know where these donations are going, but it doesn't really surprise me. But I think it's evidence of something that I think might be a reckoning that's coming for churches in the near future. That, you know, I've always, as someone who led churches, I would encourage people to, there's nothing wrong with giving to more than one church, but I think that we're called, and what I've always taught, I'm a guy that teaches and preaches and believes and practices tithing. And so it's something that I've always taught, that your tithe belongs in the place, in your local body, right? In the place where you actively worship. So if this is a trend, I think, to watch, if people are tithing and maybe splitting it up amongst multiple churches, or maybe giving some to a place where they get fed online and some to their local expression, I think that might have some challenges in the future. I don't think it's something that... you know, it may be worth fighting on the local level. I think I would continue to teach that your tithe belongs in the house of the Lord, in the local expression of the church. But I think it's important that all churches, that we all teach that. I think that's a biblical principle. And I would think, I don't know this, but I would think that some of these really large churches, if people are watching them from afar, they'd love and gladly receive donations. Oh. But if you still call another church your home, I would assume that they would still like to see you giving to your local expression, to the place where you're actually going on Sundays when the pandemic is over. So this will be interesting to see. I think to see how that all plays out.
Yeah, agreed. And I think also where it should, maybe it's the smaller church. Maybe it's not just smaller churches, right? I mean, if someone could be in a mega-sized church and start enjoying, you know,
another mega church
preaching, that, or Joel Osteen's preaching, or whoever. But I think that it should challenge maybe that smaller church, or the church that's not as up to date online, to kind of try to do as much as you can to beef up your presence. And that's not to say that you getting up to date will, you know, that, you know, I think you hit the nail on the head that we should teach what it means to give. Yeah. And I think that's the biggest thing. But I think it should also challenge churches to get a little more up to date, get these things going. Online giving, of course, if you don't have all of that, and vamp up as much as your preaching game as you can online. I think that won't hurt at all, of sort.
Yeah, I just want to, let me say this too, just to be an encouragement to our audience. Something that transformed my pastoral ministry is when a mentor of mine told me, never, ever, ever apologize for talking about giving. That was something that shook me to my core, because I was one of those pastors that was always really cautious when I talked about giving. I wanted to make sure that everybody knew that I wasn't trying to be money hungry, and that I sugarcoated and maybe like stepped around a little bit the way I talked about online giving or just giving in general. And so I just want to encourage you guys, if you are if you're in a local church expression, you're leading a church, you have a chance to talk about giving, you talk about it in service. Don't be ashamed to talk about it online. Now, I'm not saying make it the focal point of every single page of your website and make it all boil down to giving. Obviously, that's not the gospel. That's not what we're about here. But don't be afraid. It is a valid and important expression of worship. And we should not, as Christians and as church leaders, we should not abdicate our responsibility to train people up and teach them about the importance and the way that it changes your life when you give. Like, that's something that's so important. So if I could just be encouragement to our audience with that.
Amen.
So let me wrap up with this. Number seven, this one I think was probably the most profound. 92% of donors say they will continue to donate primarily online and mobile when the pandemic is over. So who knows what that looks like? Who knows when that'll happen? Or I think that the idea of the pandemic being over, it's not going to be one line in the sand where it was going on today and then it was over the next day. It's going to gradually fade, God willing.
Yeah,
I don't think I'm one of those guys. I don't think it's going to go back to exactly the same as it used to be. I think some of the trends we're seeing in church attendance, this is going to be what puts them over the edge, and we'll continue to see some declines in church attendance on Sunday mornings. As much as that saddens me to say, I think it's something that it's a rising tide that we need to just be aware of.
Yeah.
But here's some reality for you guys: is that 92% of people say, even when the pandemic's over, they're not switching back to writing checks on Sunday mornings. 8% maybe will. So that's a small number. But my rough numbers and what we've kind of done from surveys before, we would estimate that before the pandemic, about 40% of people gave their tithes and offerings online. About 60% were giving them in person on Sunday mornings in the average church across the country. The church I pastored most recently, it was full of 20-somethings and people in their early 30s and young families. We were about 75% online. But I think if you average everybody in the country, our numbers were about 40 online, 60 in person. To hear 92% online, 8% in person, that's a monumental shift.
It's huge. And to me, it kind of makes sense when I think about it, though. I think that a lot of churches now have embraced online giving compared to ever before. That's something the pandemic has drawn out. And so I think that now, with maybe some of the people that were a little skeptical about it before or not as comfortable or just wasn't what they did, they've probably experienced the convenience of it and maybe how it's kept them disciplined, like you had shared it's done for you. And now they're used to it, right? And I got to think most people, they don't write checks as often anymore. I've heard people say that have not done online giving at church that really the only check they would write is when they send in their tithe or put it in the offering plate. So I think it makes sense that I think people have kind of they've experienced the benefits of it. And that it's still been a part of their worship and obedience to the Lord.
Yeah. So to me, that just affirms the need that churches need to take this seriously. So we have a couple of quick things I'll mention to you. We have a post that is one of our most useful posts that we hear back from people about, where we give you a honest review of the top 7 online giving providers for churches. We'll have a link to that in the description here. So do take a look at that. We hope that's helpful to you. If you're not using online giving as a church, or maybe you don't like the people that you're using, or maybe you're using a non-church specific kind of a source and it's kind of clunky, we have some great ones that you can take a look at there. Also, I just think we need to encourage you that you need to take this seriously on your website. So this is the primary way that people are going to give, is going to be getting onto your website, whether on a mobile device or through their computer. They'll get on there. They'll find your giving link. One thing, and we can talk about this a little bit, Ian, is that a lot of churches think that just a button that goes straight to their giving provider is the right way to do it. What do you think about that?
I think that's one of the worst ways to do it. Yeah. I think that it's, sometimes it's just overlooked, I guess. And so, churches figure we just got to get a link on there and it's just people that are going to give, they're going to give, and people that are not. However, what we've seen over the years, and there's been data on, is this, that donors are more likely to give when they get an idea of what it means for that church for them to give, when there's a little bit more storytelling about what that means for the donor, what it means for the church, when they show some of the, whether or not it's community outreach or just, a lot of the ways that the church uses that and gives back, not saying to put all your financial information to church on your online giving page, but I think it's going to give people a better impression when you talk about how meaningful it is to them and to the church and what the heart behind it is, if you will. People are going to feel more comfortable and not have that, probably that preconceived notion or that thought, oh, the church is just after my money. I think when you just have, again, I referenced this a long time ago, and when I say a long time ago, one of our first podcasts, but the worst I've seen is probably not, that's one of the worst where it's just a link to give, but the worst I've seen is where the pastor was in an amazing suit leaning against a golden pillar, and underneath his feet, and literally his feet on the home page of the website at that, was where you put the amount you wanted to give. I think that don't do that. But also, when people don't have some explanation of what it really means and some storytelling, that's kind of what they could be thinking in the back of their mind. It's just going straight to the pastor so he can get a jet or something like that. So don't do that.
I think that certainly that link to just giving, I put it this way a lot of times. So if all you have on your website is a button at the top that says give, and then it goes off to Tithely or Givelify or Pushpay or wherever it goes, and that's it. Could you imagine doing that in a service? Like if the offering time comes around and you just hold out a bowl and say, give, and then move on. Like, that's it. Like, of course that doesn't work. So take time to
awkward. You'd hear crickets in the,
yeah, room. Exactly. So take time to talk through this, talk about why you give, talk about different ways to give. I think one of the best things churches can do is talk about testimonies of people that gave and what God's done. Not just, hey, I gave and then God gave me this. I think those are played out. Maybe occasionally you can have that, but I think I gave, and this is what God did in my heart. Like I stepped over the line and started to be a someone who tithed. And this is the way that my marriage changed and my kids changed, things that had nothing to do with money, but just the fact that I was blessed as I took that leap and started to follow God and worship him through giving. Talk about those kinds of stories. So it is so important. Every church website, I think, deserves a well thought out, well designed giving page with lots of content on it. I think that's really a valuable thing for churches to do. So that's some advice for people. So I guess we'll leave it at that today, unless you have anything to add, Ian.
Good stuff. No, I think we've had some good content in this, and hopefully it's encouraged some pastors, ministry leaders, or whoever out there.
Yeah, you guys got this. I think pastors, we're rooting for you. We're here to help you if you need anything at all. One way you can help us is if this podcast or video has been helpful to you, rate, review, subscribe, hit like on YouTube. It just helps us to get the word out there to more churches and to more pastors to be able to help them reach people the right way. That's what we're all about here at Reach Right. So thanks again for listening, and we'll catch you guys next week. Thanks for listening to the Reach Right podcast. We hope this episode will help you reach people the right way. Looking for more resources for your church? Check us out online at reachrightstudios.com. If this episode has been helpful to you, it would mean the world to us if you would rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week. Ready to get funky.